Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh, every other week class learning. We thank our sponsor and her family very, very much for their dedication to the continuation of the Shir and increasing and enhancing our appreciation for Shabbos and our Shmir Shabbos and our love for Shabbos and our understanding of Shabbos. And it should bring schosim to her and her whole family for many Shabbosos spent in good health and naches. With a lot of Shafar Bracha, we thank her very, very much. So we are on page 40 of the Sefer. The Sefer that we are studying in this class is Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, making the most of Shabbos based on the teachings of Rav Shimshon Pinchas Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha. So we're on the bottom of page 40. And the subheading is Shabbos Conceals a Special Secret. And Erev Pinchas is actually going to be going through a piece of Gemara that we learned a few months ago. We learned this Gemara a few months ago about how Shabbos is a gift from Masechta Shabbos Yod Amud Beis, and it's something that we have already spoken about. We saw the Gemara inside. So Erev Pinchas says that Chazal tell us, the sages tell us, that Shabbos contains a secret. Hashem said to Moshe, Rabbeinu, see that Hashem gave you the Shabbos. This is strange. Why did Hashem have to inform us that he is giving us this gift? So what does it mean that Hashem said to Moshe, Hashem gave you the Shabbos? It's a pasuk from Parshas Beshalach, Perek Tes Zayin, when the man falls down for the first time, and we learn a lot of halachos about Shabbos in that context of the man. So what does it mean that Hashem gave us the Shabbos? So the Gemara says Hashem gave us a gift. So Hashem informed Moshe Rabbeinu that he was giving him a present. So Pinchas says, which the Gemara questions, why did Hashem have to inform us that he is giving us this gift? Isn't it obvious that it comes from Hashem? So the Gemara answers as follows. And the reason, again, I didn't bring it inside is because we learned it a couple of months ago inside. So I'm just quoting Rav Pinchas, who quotes the Gemara. Says Rava Bar Machseya in the name of Rav. So what's the answer? Someone who gives his friend a gift must inform him. If you give your friend a gift, you have to tell him why. Because it is written regarding Shabbos, Parshas Kitisa, to know that I am Hashem, to know that I, Hashem, am sanctifying you. L'das kini Hashem mekadishchem. L'das, you must know. Kini Hashem mekadishchem. I am God who sanctifies you. Hashem said to Moshe, I have a good gift in my treasury. I have a special present for you. And it is called Shabbos. I wish to give it to the people of Israel. Go inform them. So the Gemara learns out that Hashem didn't just give us Shabbos, and not only a Shabbos and Matana, a gift, but Hashem said to Moshe, go tell the people, I am giving them this gift. So what halacha do we learn from this above Gemara? If someone gives someone a gift, you should include a card bearing his name so the person will know who it came from. It's funny, there's actually someone in this chat, in the Zoom, who's probably smiling when she heard me say that. And I'm going to tell you why. If someone gives someone else a gift, he should include a card bearing his name so the person will know who it came from. So my husband and I just, Baruch Hashem, celebrated a significant anniversary, and someone in the Zoom was aware of that. And put that aside, last week, a little box from Bloomingdale's came, and my husband said someone sent us a present. It was a very pretty cake plate, a glass base with a gold top. And all it said was happy 25 ANNIV period. That's all it said. So we didn't know what to do, because I obviously couldn't thank the person. I can't believe I'm learning this now in the Gemara, in Rav Pinchas. We couldn't thank the person. This is a real example of why Chazal teach. So we couldn't, and I'm not making this up, and I didn't know I was going to be teaching this week. So Chazal teach us that if someone gives you a gift, you should include a card, and it says whose it's from. So it says happy 25 ANNIV. I had no idea who it's from, so you can't thank the person. I said to him, should we ask this person? Should we ask that person? He says, no, you can't ask anybody, because you're going to ask the wrong person. You're going to make someone feel bad that they didn't say. So he didn't. So thank God, in the beginning of this week, I got a text from someone who's in this chat saying, I just checked my Bloomingdale's account. I saw the box was delivered. I'm wondering if you got my gift. So I said, oh my gosh, mystery solved. Thank God you texted me. I said, we had no idea who this was from. Now I'm able to thank you properly. And also the whole purpose is that it causes endearment between the giver and the receiver. This is a literal real life example. It just happened to me. Look at the wisdom of the sages. Look how far reaching they teach about everything. Torah encompasses all reactions, interactions, personal behavior. So mamish, I'm not making you think I'm making the story up. I'm not making the story up. If someone gives someone else a gift, make sure to include the card. It should bear the name of the person so he will know who it came from. It wasn't their fault. They included it. Bloomingdale's cut off. I said, you should really call them and tell them it's not such good customer service. Like, what if you had not reached out to me? Okay, so Bekitzer, I can use a real-life illustration. So Hashem said to Moshe, who do we learn this from? The Malami Torah, the Am Yisrael. We don't learn it from people, we learn it from God. Why? Because God included a card, so to speak. He didn't just give a Shabbos, which is a matana, but you might not know who it came from. He said to Moshe, go tell the people of Israel that I am giving them the gift of Shabbos. So you learn that if you shouldn't do such a matana b'seisa. I'm not talking about tzedakah, if you want to be anonymous. And it's best that way to be anonymous. Sometimes when you want to cause endearment between you and your fellow man, whether it's family or friend, you learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You shouldn't be al tatz the karbi. Don't be such an anav. Let them know who it came from. It will increase ahavas Yisrael between people. So it's a beautiful practical lesson. Next time you give someone a present, you should make them aware of who gave it so that you can have increased love between Jews. Okay? So that's very nice. That's the halacha. Like Rav Pinchas says, we learn a halacha from the above Gemara. If someone gives someone else a gift, he should include a card bearing his name, so the person will know who it came from. Okay? So clearly Bloomingdale's is not aware of this halacha. But if the recipient will recognize who gave him a gift, the Gemara says there's no need to inform him. So the Gemara says, yes, if you don't know who it's going to come from, okay, so it could have been anybody who sent me that glass cake plate, so then it has to have a gift. But if you know who it came from, then you don't need to write a card. It's obvious. The Gemara says there's no need to inform him. So now we have a shaila. Won't the people of Israel know who gave them Shabbos? Do you understand what we just said? If you don't know who it's from, so you need to include a card. The cake pick could be from anybody. Who knows that it's my anniversary, so you need to include a card. But if you know who it's from, you don't need to include a card. So what's the problem with this? Do we think someone else gave a Shabbos? You understand the kasha? Who else could give it a Shabbos? Only Hashem. So why do we need a card? Why does Moshe need to say, oh, see, I have given you the Shabbos, says God. Of course it's from Hashem. It couldn't be from anyone else. I don't have a kasha. Won't the people of Israel know who gave them Shabbos? Why does Hashem specifically have to say, says Rav Pinchas, I gave you the Shabbos? In the answer to the question, Chazal say, I'm quoting, I'm on page 41 of the Sefer, there's an aspect of Shabbos that it's hidden. There is an aspect, of course we know who Shabbos is from, but we might not know one aspect of Shabbos, and that is the reward. The reward of Shabbos may be hidden, and because we don't know that, it's not just that we have Shabbos, just come in a few hours, but it's that there is a reward to Shabbos. And Hashem said to Moshe, go tell the people that there is a reward for keeping Shabbos, and that we might not know is an aspect of the gift from Hashem. So if Pinchas says Shabbos offers a special reward that we do not receive by any other mitzvah. Of course, we cannot fully fathom the depth or reward of any mitzvah. That's not why we serve Hashem. We don't serve Hashem for the reward. We serve Hashem because it's Ratzon Hashem, and Hashem commanded us to serve Him. Every mitzvah is a reward, but you do not know the Matan Scharon Shel Mitzvah, say Chazal and Pirkei Avos. You don't know the reward of mitzvahs. Ein ata yodea Matan Scharon Shel Mitzvahs. We don't know the reward. Only Hashem knows the reward. But by Shabbos, there's an extra aspect. There's a depth and reward. There's something, quote, deeper and more exceptional to the reward of Shabbos that we might not be aware of. And therefore, that's what Moshe needed to tell us about. Of course, we know who Shabbos is from. We don't know about the reward of Shabbos. And that's what Moshe needed to inform us. The fact that Shabbos goes by so unutilized, says Rav Pinchas, is itself proof that the day conceals a great secret. So he says Shabbos goes by so unutilized, and it's something we've spoken about many times. What is the purpose of Shabbos? Is it just to have good food? Is it just to take a nap? Is it just to read the newspaper? Or in my case, is it to enjoy Mishpacha magazine? What is the point of Shabbos? And clearly it's so unutilized, which reminds us that there's a great secret. People don't realize there's a great reward. There's a great treasure. Therefore, Hashem instructed Moshe to go and explicitly tell the Bnei Yisrael about the gift of Shabbos. It's not that you don't know who the cake plate is from. You do know it's from, but there's something hidden inside that you didn't know that it was from. That's what we need to be told about. Otherwise, says Rav Pinchas, we would never have discovered the true depth of Shabbos if we would not have known that Hashem gave us this matana. This secret is described as a delightful gift that is found in Hashem's treasury. So Hashem has a treasury. He has an Otzar HaTov where he keeps all of his vast treasures. And one of the major treasures that's up there, the most brightest, most beautiful treasure, is Shabbos and the reward for keeping Shabbos. And so now Pinchas says this secret is described as a delightful gift found in Hashem's treasury. Shabbos is just like a diamond, a precious jewel, guarded from public view. So when I read that Shabbos is a diamond, it reminded me of a teaching from Henny Machlis, Alah Hasham. For those that joined late, I made a shahako right before I started the recording on the Zoom. So it reminded me of a story from Amuna with Love and Chicken Soup, okay? If you didn't read it, I always recommend books. For those who learn with me, you know I'm always quoting from this book and that book and recommending the ones that I read. I'm sure that everyone read the Henny Machlis biography by now, but if you somehow didn't, you should. Okay, so what Rav Pinchas says is that Shabbos is like a diamond, And a diamond, a precious jewel, you don't want to flaunt it. You don't walk in the street letting everybody know about this diamond. You want to hide it. You don't want everyone to see. Think about it. It's true. You might take a trip to a certain place or go on the train or whatever. So it's not exactly if, for some reason you're taking the train from your home to Manhattan for an appointment. I don't think you're going to put on your finest jewels. You will keep them in the safe. Oh, if you have a simcha, Baruch Hashem. So at that point, you would probably take all your jewels for the simcha or in celebration of Yom Tov. To take the train from here to there, I don't think you're going to put on your fanciest diamonds. Why not? Because when something is so precious, you want to hide it. And something is so precious, it is hidden. So the gift of Shabbos, specifically the reward of Shabbos, is so precious, it's hidden. So Hashem says, I need to tell you of a beautiful diamond. You have to know about this. So too Knesset Yisrael. We're all diamonds. And because Henny, it's from her Henny's Torah teachings, it's the gray boxes, which is Henny's Torah teachings. A certain rabbi loved every Jew very much. He once went to speak in the Diamond District. So you can imagine, when I read Diamond, remind me of Henny Machas. He once went to speak in the Diamond District in Tel Aviv. The first question they asked this Jew, who had so much Avos Yisrael, why do you usually hang out with the low-class people? What they were saying is, those people who don't seem to be worth much in society as a whole. So the certain rabbi said to the diamond dealers, when you find a diamond, it's precious, but on the outside it's dirty, it's uncut. Do you just throw it out? So the diamond dealer said, no, of course not. We polish it. So this rabbi said, quote, I'm quoting from Henny's Torah teachings. If you have the book, I'm on page 68 for your reference. No, I do the same. Every Jew is more precious than every diamond. There was a fellow who was playing his violin in the subway. By the way, I recently gave a whole shiur on this a few months ago. If anyone remembers that the young Israel of Woodmere, and Henny talks about it here. There was a fellow who was playing his violin in the subway. He had his violin case open, and for 45 minutes, this is a true story, he was playing. And 1,092 people passed by, and only 6 people stopped to listen for a while. He collected $32 in coins from people who walked by. Afterward, it was revealed that this was Joshua Bell, one of the world's greatest violinists. And he was using a violin that was worth $3.5 million. But he was playing in the subway station, and he looked like every other beggar. And no one paid any attention to the diamond, the secret, the gift. People just didn't notice. They just didn't take the time to listen because they didn't know it was so precious. So I'm relating this. She's talking about people diamonds. I'm talking about Shabbos diamonds. Are we so busy with everything else that we just don't stop and listen to the gift of Shabbos, to the music of Shabbos, to the diamond, the preciousness? Are we not even noticing Shabbos comes and Shabbos goes? Do we treat it like every other day of the week? That was Joshua Bell treated like every other beggar in the, downtown in the subway station? Or do you recognize that there's something precious here? So I want to say, said Henny, really everybody around us is like Joshua Bell. Everybody is important. Everybody is special. We have to work hard to love our Jew like ourselves. We have to see the uniqueness in every diamond of every Jew. We have to see the specialness. We don't know who anybody is. And that's what we have to strive to do. See the diamond in Shabbos, the preciousness and the specialness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to focus on the good, the uniqueness and specialness of each person. In Parshas Vayera, we are told that Avram Avinu says to the 3 guests who came, Adonai, imna matzasi chen beinecha, al na tavar me'al avdacha. My masters, if I found favor in your eyes, please stay in my tent. Don't go to anyone else's tent. Rashi quotes the rabbinic discussion when Avram Avinu says, Adonai, imna matzasi chen beinecha, al na tavar me'al avdacha. Was he talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Hashem, thanks for coming to do Bikur Cholam. Please wait here while I serve the guests. Or was he talking to the guests? So Henny learns out something interesting. Since we see that Rashi, the Chazal, have a Shaila, was he talking to the guests or is he talking to Hashem? He uses the same term to refer to both God and the guests. So we see something very important from here. He spoke to his guests with such honor. Chazal have difficulty distinguishing, is he speaking to his guests or is he speaking to Hashem? If you appreciate that every Jew is a diamond, and that is how you speak to them, because you appreciate them so much, you're not even sure if you're talking to them or to the Shechina, Kaviyacha. So we shouldn't treat Shabbos. We have to recognize the diamond in Shabbos. It's not like every other day of the week, but Joshua Bell wasn't like every other beggar. But people just didn't stop to notice. We have to stop to notice. Rabbi Ari Kahn tells the following story. 1 second, please. That's so nice. That's beautiful. Direct message. I'm going to share it. Because of our learning, it relates to what we're talking about. I only wore my jewelry at Simchas. But now I put it on every Friday night. That's such a chizuk. That's so, so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. It gives me a lot of chizuk. It gives me so much chizuk when people share how practically the learning causes changes in their lives. It's very nice to be intellectually stimulated. I mean, I enjoy it. It's very nice. I was always very studious in school. But when we learn Torah, it's not just another subject, chas v'shalom. It gives me so much chizik. Wow, that it's really relatable and applicable, and we're making changes in our avodas Hashem. It's tremendous. Thank you for sharing that. So Rabbi Ari Kahn tells the following story. She also never wore a Shabbos robe since we learned that Hashem comes to her home on Shabbos. She always gets dressed for the Shechina. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Dayenu. I could hang up now and say the whole shiur is kedaya. I'm not going to. I have a lot prepared. Rabbi Ari Kahn tells the following story. One of the most humbling experiences I have ever had was walking up the streets of Jerusalem with Rabbi Mordechai Machlas. Although we were engrossed in an important conversation, I gradually became aware of something extraordinary. As we walked, we happened to pass the city's unfortunate individuals, homeless people, poor people, hungry people. Other walk by, they might toss a coin or two with a condescending look and walk on. Rabbi Mordechai Machlis didn't do that. He knew each one of these people by name. He knew their stories, their challenges, their medical challenges, their emotional conditions. To him, they were not anonymous beggars. He didn't see a random person. He saw Joshua Bell in every person. We should see the diamond in every single Shabbos. Yes, it comes every 7 days. Yes, wasn't it just last week? And wasn't I just preparing? And am I doing the same thing again? It's not like that. Chas v'shalom. It's not just another Shabbos. There's a whole gift. There's a whole diamond here. To Rabbi Mordechai Machlis, these were not anonymous beggars. They were real people. They were cherished guests in his and Henny's home, just like the guests who came to Avraham Avinu. And if Hashem, going back to this direct message, if Hashem is the cherished guest who's coming to our home on Shabbos, so that's why we put on our jewelry. That's why we get dressed to cover Shabbos clothes. That's why we put on a shaytuf. Remember, I spoke about it a couple of years ago, that from that time, I always remember, I used to, like, the person who directly messaged me a few years ago would come. Sometimes it sounds even funny to say it because it's so foreign to me now. Baruch Hashem, I'm far from that now. So you're a person whose halacha holds that you don't wear a shaita ever. So obviously that's a different psak. And so don't take an aser from what I'm saying. But if we get dressed for the outside, like this person said, jewelry, Shabbos clothing, not a robe. For me, I never wore a robe anyway. But for me, a shaita, not a ticha. So who am I getting dressed for? The whole world. I have to get dressed for Hashem. You have to see the diamond. You have to see the preciousness. While some of us feel special if we have a few guests, important people, the Machlis home is a haven for anyone and everyone, regardless of status or stature. And quote, it would not be an exaggeration to say when Henny Machlis was alive, there were no homeless people in Jerusalem. Everyone knew they had a place to go, a place to get a warm meal, a warm smile, a place where they would feel welcome, valued, even cherished. This is a quote, by the way, from the Jerusalem Post. The Jerusalem Post published an article called Jerusalem's Treasure by Rabbi Ari Kahn after Henny Machlis' Patira, and it's quoted here in the book. But I bring this to you because really when Rav Pinchas mentions diamonds, it reminds me of Henny Machlis and how she saw every Jew as a diamond. But I'm going to use that parallel because he says Shabbos is a diamond, Shabbos is a treasure, Shabbos is a precious jewel guarded from public view. So we should not just get used to Shabbos just because it comes every 7 days. We shouldn't say, oh, it's here again, oh, we just did this, oh, the same food, the same meal, the same song. No, every time it comes, it's a unique diamond. You don't throw a diamond in the garbage. You polish it up. That's what we have to do for Shabbos. Hashem didn't show everybody the gift, just like you wouldn't put on your jewelry, your fancy jewelry, to take the train to Manhattan. Why wouldn't you? Everyone knows you wouldn't do that. Shabbos is a gift. He didn't show it to everyone. He only showed the beauty of Shabbos Kodesh, top of page 42, to the people of Israel. And he said to them, look, this is my wonderful Shabbos. I'm not going to quote. I was going to quote. I'll save that for a different time. Okay. Shabbos and the Exodus. Shabbos and creation. There are other aspects of Shabbos that seem to make no sense, says Rav Pinchas. In the Aseres HaDibros, as written in Sefer Shmo, Shabbos is described as Zecher. Zachar. Oh, I want to tell you something interesting. 1 second. So just because Rav Pinchas brings up that the Aseres HaDibros and we have Zechira by Shabbos, yes, 100%. You should always, what you're preparing for Shabbos, you should say the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. When you buy something, you should say the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. When you cook, you should say the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. It elevates what you are doing. So this is really interesting. Just a side point that I found interesting, a little trivia. So, what Pinchas just said that by the Sereso Dibrisan Sefer Shmos, we have Zechira. By the Sereso Dibrisan Ve'eschanan, we have Shmira. In Shmos, Perek Chof, Pasuk Ches, the Pasuk says, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. In the Ve'eschanan, by the Sereso Dibrisan Perek Hei, Shamar es Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. Zachor v'Shamar. So, I was listening to a shiur the other week by Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, and he said that in the Lecha Dodi, which is one of the songs to welcome Shabbos, composed by the Kabbalists in Sfat in the 1600s, Lecha Dodi, come my the beloved, the Kraskal, let's greet the bride, Pnei Shabbos Nekabel, let's greet the face of Shabbos. And then we say Shamor V'Zachor. Why do we say Shamor V'Zachor? Just a little trivia that I found interesting. The order of the Aseres HaDibros is Zachor V'Shamor. In Yisro, it's Zachor Yom HaShabbos Kadosh. In Ve'eschanan, it's Shamos Yom HaShabbos Kadosh. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Guard the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So why in the Chadodi do we say Shamar first and Zachar? Shamar v'Zachar b'dibur achad. It should be Zachar v'Shamar b'dibur achad. So it's just something that I found interesting. The Chadodi was composed by the great Kabbalist of Shlomo Alkabetz, and his name was Shlomo. And the first four stanzas spell his name. Shamar likras mikdas hisna ari, mikdas hisna ari, shin lamin mem hei. So Dr. J.J. Sechler said it has to fit. His name was Shlomo and it started with a shin, so he put Shamar before Zachar. I just thought it was interesting. I told it over at the table that week that I heard it. Just a little bit of interesting trivia. His name is Shlomo. The first stanza has to start with a shin, and therefore Shamar comes before Zachar. But yes, in the order when Hashem gave us the Aseres HaDibros, Zachar comes first. Sorry, I forgot Shmos. So what does the Pasuk say in Sefer Shmos? Zachor es Yom HaShabbos Lekadosho. You should guard the Sabbath day to sanctify it. And then what does it say? Sheish es Yamim Ta'avod. I'm going here because of Pinchas quotes this passage. Okay. For 6 days you should work, you should do all of your work. And on the seventh day, Shabbos to Hashem, your God, you should not do any work, you and your people in your home and your animals. For 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, the sea that is all that it is in it. I'm trying to talk too fast. I'm sorry. Therefore, God bless the seventh day and sanctify it. So in Yisro, we are told that Hashem created the whole world and he rested on the seventh day, and therefore we must rest. But in Sefer Devarim, I'm really sorry that I keep getting up. This is like exercise. I'm giving class. Okay, but in Sefer Devarim, when Hashem gives us the Aseres HaDibros, Moshe repeats Aseres HaDibros, in Sefer Devarim, it mentions Mitzrayim. It doesn't mention Mitzrayim in the Aseres HaDibros of Yisro. It mentions Maase Bereishis by Yisro, but by Aschanan, Ve'aschanan, the Pasuk says, V'zacharta ki eved ha'isa be'eretz Mitzrayim. You should remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. V'yotzi acha shem misham b'yad chazaka v'zvaretuya. And God took you out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Al kein sivcha shem elkech la'asos es Yom HaShabbos. Interesting. In Yisro, Zachor Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, we're told God created the whole world, so you should rest. In Ve'eschanan, Shamar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, we're told God took you out from the land of Egypt, we were slaves, he took us out, therefore we keep Shabbos. So it's very interesting, in both sets of the Aseres HaDibros, we have a different reason given by the Torah for the purpose of Shabbos. Yisro, Zachor, commemoration of Maase Bereishis. Ve'eschanan, Shamar, commemoration of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so now that we've seen those two sources, let's go back to Rav Shimshon Pinchas. He writes, there are other aspects of Shabbos that seem to make no sense. And the Aseres HaDibros, in Sefer Shmos, Shabbos is described as a Zechel Maase Bereishis. I quoted the pasuk for you. A remembrance for the creation of the world. However, in Devarim, in Ve'eschanan, Shabbos has said something else. Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a Zechira for the Exodus from Egypt. The connection between Shabbos and creation is obvious. God worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh day, or I should say he ceased working. So we do the same. We work and we cease working. However, says Rav Pinchas, the connection between Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim is not so obvious. Because I took you out of the land of Egypt, you should keep Shabbos? Shabbos, having come into being on the seventh day of creation, existed even before the Exodus. Shabbos is from Maase Bereishis. So what does that have to do with you keep Shabbos? Because I took you out from Mitzrayim, says Rav Pinchas. Furthermore, another question, the connection between Shabbos and creation is not as obvious as it sounds. So to us, it's very obvious because we hear it all the time. So we don't even think that there's a kasha, but he points out something very interesting. Imagine a man works long and hard to construct a great building. You know, when the structure is finally complete. So I'm thinking about it because just it's in my den. My son is in Darche, ninth grade, and they have some, in Darche in the afternoon, they have like some hands-on workshops. So he takes woodworking. So he's been talking for a few months about the bench that he's working on. Bench. We don't know what he was talking about. He wants to stay there to work on the bench. Some of his shirts were stained from the dye, and his pants got some, I don't know, oil on them, whatever. Bench. Finally, yesterday, my husband picked up the bench. The bench came home. It's indescribable. I wish you could all see it. It's literally indescribable. I cannot believe that Kanai Nahar, my 15-year-old child, made this bench. I can't describe it. That's why seeing is believing, because I can't describe it to you. Okay? It's incredible. So Rav Pinchas says, imagine a man works long and hard to construct a great building. You work and you work and you work and you finally finish working. Wow, it's unbelievable. Kanai Nahara, Bali Ainahara, Baruch Hashem. So when the structure is finally complete, and he came home late last night, 11 o'clock, we said, well, this bench is unbelievable. So he said, I worked so hard. I've been working and working and working. And then he finally sat down on the bench. I'm not making either of these stories up. The gift story I'm not making up, and the bench story I'm not making up. Amazing, Hashem arranges everything, and you see how Torah applies to all of our real lives. So Shmuel came home, and he said, I worked so hard. He said his friends were making fun of him. Shmuel, you're always in woodworking, every spare minute in woodworking. And he sat down on the bench. When the structure is finally complete, says Rav Pinchas, you retire. You sit down on an easy chair. You stretch out your legs. You take a rest. I worked so hard. Baruch Hashem, the bench is finished. It's absolutely amazing. I wish you could see it. It's amazing, Kanaina. Now I want to take a rest. If he wanted to imitate something he did during the construction in order to commemorate the work, why would we specifically choose resting? If you want to remember the work that Hashem created the world, would this be an appropriate symbol to remind us of all the hard work? Wouldn't bricks and girders and power tools and saws and oil and sheen and shine be better representations of the act of construction? So we think there's only a question on the Aseres HaDibros and Devarim. What does Yetzias Mitzrayim have to do with? What does Yetzias Mitzrayim have to do with Shabbos? I should keep Shabbos because God took me out of Egypt. I need to do a lot of things because God took me out of Egypt. The Marar, the Matzah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Charosas, Tzli Aish Amatzos U'Mararim Yachlu. So there's a lot of things I do to commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim. Question number one, how does Shabbos commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the Pshah? It doesn't seem to be any kasher. That's by Vaschanan. And now by Yisro, there's also a question, actually, says Rav Pinchas. So you want to remember that Hashem worked. I closed the Chumash, but I'm going to reopen it. You want to remember that Hashem worked, and he rested. And that's what we have Shabbos. So what should you do? Listen to the Pasuk again. Zachar Siyam HaShabbos Kachu. You remember the saint. You shall remember the Sap. I'm sorry. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufi Gita Secha. Zachar Esyam HaShabbos Akadjo. We want to remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. And then the Pasuk says, Sheishas Yamim Ta'avod Vasizukam Lechtecha. For 6 days you shall work and do all your work. On the seventh day, it's a Shabbat. It's a cessation to God. Do not do any work. You and your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your animals, the comfort that's in your midst. Ki Sheishas Yamim Asa Hashem Es HaShemayim Ves Haaretz. Es Hayam Ves Kol Shabbam. God worked and worked and worked and worked to create. Therefore, he blessed the Sabbath day and he sanctified it. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, if you want to commemorate God's work, so maybe we should work on Shabbos. You want to remember that Hashem created this whole world. Isn't that the point of Shabbos? To remember Hashem is the Borei Olam? So if Hashem's the Borei Olam, maybe I should do a lot of work. Would this be the appropriate symbol to remind us of all the hard work? Take a rest. I worked so hard on this bench. Now I come home at 11 o'clock. Now I'm going to have a seat on the bench. You should show us how you made the bench. And in fact, he tried. He tried to get a paper and a pen, and he was trying to explain how he made everything fit. And Kai said, Shmuel, I don't understand what you're saying. He's like, Mommy, just listen. But he knows in his head exactly what he did. I couldn't understand what he was talking about. Wooden bricks and girders and power tools be better representations of the act of construction. You want me to know you work? So take out the tools and show me how you work. Sit down, have a seat. Likewise, let's say we wanted to commemorate the creation of the world, says Rav Pinkas. The most appropriate way would be to work hard. That's what he says. To perform various forms of creative work on Shabbos. That would be a commemoration. We have a mitzvah to every day God, v'halachta b'dracha, v'lahaleich achar midos of Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. I quote it all the time, so to yudar av. So if we have to emulate the Ribbon Shalom, that's why, by the way, when you give someone a gift, you have to tell them, you're emulating God. So if I have to emulate God, so I should work. And then I remember Hashem created the world. We should engage. So I'm not saying this, what Pinkas is saying. This is page 42 of the Sefer. Perhaps we should engage in all 39 forms of malacha. You should dafka do the lametes malachos. That reminds me of something I heard Rabbi Zev Lef say. It's good I got my sitter before, so I don't have to get up again. I wouldn't mind getting up again. I just feel bad. I keep leaving you. Rabbi Zev Lef said, not really leaving you for a moment. I just said, this is a big lesson in Emunah. Shabbos is also about Emunah. Why? Because I stopped working in the olden days. Not today, in the society in which we live, but in the olden days, they called them pink slip Jews. I mean, if your mama stopped working for a day, what was going to happen? You weren't going to have what to eat. Today, it's hard for us to understand that Nisayin of Shabbos because we don't live in a society or a time or a century where that is so shayach. But maybe for some people today it is. Not in our communities, but maybe in some countries and some places it is. But 100 years ago, for the Jews on the Lower East Side, it was a real test of Emunah. If you stopped working, you were going to get there wasn't going to be food. So I just said the following statement. We should engage in all 39 forms of malacha on Shabbos. We should perform various forms of creative work on Shabbos. We should recite a special bracha saying our labors are in remembrance of the work done by Hashem and created the world. Let's say you just came to Shir. You don't know Michal Haaretz. You don't know anything about Shabbos. And you popped into the Zoom and you heard me say, the most appropriate way would be to work hard to perform various forms of creative work on Shabbos. We should engage in all 39 forms of malacha. We should make a special bracha saying our labors are in remembrance of the work done by Hashem and created the world. So what would you think you're supposed to do on Shabbos? Well, since I can't see anybody right now, no one's on the screen, so I'm just going to answer my own question, okay? Okay, no one came. So I'm just going to answer the question. If you just popped into Shir and you knew nothing about Shabbos and you don't know anything about me and you don't know anything about this Shir, you would think you're supposed to work on Shabbos. Let's say you heard that fragment just in isolation. Okay, you came into the Shir when I started the sentence, you left Shir when I ended the sentence, you would go tell people, I learned about Shabbos. Shabbos is you're supposed to work. You're supposed to do 39 forms of constructive labor. I mamish can't see anyone now, but... But that's what you would think Shabbos is, a day to work. Rabbi Zev Lef said, oh, thank you so much. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I actually heard Rabbi Shai Shechter giving a shiur the other week. It was a guest lecture. I don't know if it was for Stern College or what. And he started off, oh, it was for Yeshiva University before Shavuos. So you start off by saying, I'm going to ask all the people, he mamish said this. I'm just repeating what Rabbi Shechter said. If you're dressed, please open your camera so I'm not talking to black boxes. I don't ask people to do that. I understand not everyone wants to be seen or can be seen. But if you're able to be seen, I appreciate it because it's sometimes hard to talk to literally a blank screen. So whoever just opened their camera, say thank you. If you didn't, I understand if you can't. So do you understand what I was saying? Let's say you came into the Shir and you just heard. Now I'm going to ask you because I could see some people. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. All I had to do was ask. Thank you. So let's say you heard me say that sentence. So what would you didn't know anything about Shabbos. You're coming, you pop in, you pop out. What would you think you're supposed to do on Shabbos? Work. Yes, makes sense. You heard me say we should work on Shabbos. We should do Malachas Machshavos. You don't know the context. You don't know the before. You don't know the after. You heard me say we should work on Shabbos. So you're going to hang up the phone and say, great, I'm going to work because I heard her say we have to work on Shabbos. Shabbos Zav, I'm so happy. So many people opened up. I didn't know. I just had to ask. Oh my gosh. So Rabbi Zev Lef said, let's say you come into shul late. There's also a very cute parrot joining us. I don't know what kind of bird that is, but it's very nice. So let's say, Rabbi Zev Lef said, let's say you walked into shul, you came late, and you're leaving early. And all you heard is the phrase from Ashrei. Okay, the pasuk in Ashrei is, Shomer Hashem es kol ohavav, God guards all of his beloved, those he loves, he guards, and all of the wicked he will destroy. Let's say you came into Shul Eitzes, Rabbi Zelov, and you only heard, Ohavav v'eis kol rasha'im. God loves all the wicked. So you would think Hashem loves all the wicked. Or you might think, how did he say it? Shomer Hashem, you walked in late, and you only heard, Ohava v'eis kol rasha'im. God loves the wicked. And then you left. So you think Hashem loves wicked people. And he doesn't love those who love him. So of course that's not true. But you came late and you're leaving early. What's the lesson in Emunah? We come into this world in the middle of the picture. And we leave early. We're not a ram for the whole world. He was talking about it was in the aftermath of the Meron disaster. So you walked into Shul in the middle and all you heard is God loves the wicked. And you left. Or you walk into Michal Aretz Ashir and you say, oh, you're supposed to actually work on Shabbos. I mean, that's literally what Rav Pinchas says. The most appropriate way to commemorate the creation of the world would be to work hard, perform various forms of creative work. We should engage in all 39 forms of malacha. We should recite a special bracha. Our labors are remembrance of the work done by Hashem in creating the world. And then you left. So you would leave Shir and you'd say, I should not work on Shabbos. So you walk into Shul and all you hear is that God loves the wicked. What's the lesson in Amunah? We come into this world in the middle of the story, in the middle of the Shir, in the middle of the Tefillah. You just came here. And you leave before the story's finished. It was in the aftermath of the Meron disaster. It was just their Shloshim this past Tuesday. Aleihem Hashalom, Zichronam Levracha. May the Neshamas have Aliyos, and may their families have Nechamas and Nechama. But you just came in the middle of the story. You think you understand? You missed the beginning of the pasuk. You missed the end of the pasuk. You only heard the middle. You missed the first 30 minutes of Shir, and you're going to miss the last 50 minutes of Shir, and all you think is, I'm supposed to work on Shabbos. So it's such a lesson in Emunah. We don't see the whole picture. We can't get the whole picture because God put us here for a fraction of time. Think of how long the world has been here, and think how many billions of people are in this world. 5,781 years, the world is full of billions of people. I'm one little person who's here for a very short time frame. I expect to understand everything that God is doing. So I go into Shul and I hear Eis Kol Ohava, V'Eis Kol Rasha'im, all of his lovers and all of the wicked. So I think I make a darshan on this pasuk and I think God loves the wicked. No, God doesn't love the wicked, but you don't know the story. And you're not supposed to work on Shabbos, but you came late this year. And you want to purport to understand the ways of Hashem when you're here for one snippet of time. In a vast expanse of time. So I thought it was very powerful in trying to reframe the tzaros that people face and understanding that we don't understand the ways of Hashem. Okay, so if you just came to share for that section, I hope you know the rest. Don't work on Shabbos. But the kasha is maybe I should work on Shabbos. I worked so hard, I created a bench, I should reenact the work to show you what I did. If you want to remember that Hashem is the borei olam and we have a mitzvah of a halachta bedrachav, so maybe I should reenact the work of God. But the Torah commands us, says Rav Pinchas, it's so nice to see all of you now. The Torah commands us not to work on Shabbos. The Torah commands us to rest. What is the meaning of rest? So the kasha on Veschanon is, why does Shabbos have to do Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the kasha on Yisro is, if you want me to commemorate that God is a borei olam, I should be a borei. That would be the ultimate commemoration. But no, the Torah commands us not to work on Shabbos. The Torah commands us to rest on Shabbos. What is the meaning of rest? In Mincha of Shabbos, we say a rest of love and generosity, a rest of truth and faith, a rest of peace and tranquility, quiet and security. It's taco good. I went to get the sitter before, no? So in Mincha, we say in the Shemona Esrei, Menuchas Ahava Unedava. Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Where is it? Here we go. Menuchas Ahava Unedava. Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Menuchas Shalom V'shalva V'hashkeva V'vetach. Menuchas Shlema She'atarot Seba. Love of rest and generosity, truth and faith, peace and tranquility and rest and security and quiet. What are all these kinds of rest? What is really the key to Shabbos? And how do we unravel the answers to these mysteries and our questions? So just keep in mind, we're in the middle of a chapter. We're not going to get the answers today. So I want to now quote what I was going to quote before. I say it's now Reflections of the Maggid by Rabbi Pesach Kron. So Rabbi Pesach Kron tells over the following story slash lesson, okay? About a Mrs. Yocheved Kahn, K-A-H-N. I don't think it's any relation to the Rabbi Ari Kahn. I don't know. that I quote from the Hanimacha's biography, but happens to be, putting that in quotes, that both stories are in the name of a Khan, K-A-H-N. So this is a story about Mrs. Yocheved Khan. She was born in 1939 in Holland, as the Nazis were spreading their ghastly terror throughout Europe. Dutch Jews were terrified that the Nazis would soon invade their country. When Yocheved was only 2.5 years old, her parents gave her, reluctantly, to a Gentile woman. So the woman promised to take care of her and protect her from the Nazis. 2 weeks later, Yocheved's parents, along with hundreds of others, were taken to the transit camp in Westerbork, a tiny town in northeast Holland. From there, ultimately, they were sent to the concentration camps, where they were murdered. Tragically, Yocheved would never see her parents again. They were transferred to extermination camps in Poland, ultimately, where they perished. After the war, when she was 6 years old, Yocheved was reunited with an aunt and uncle in Utrecht, and they raised her until she married. Throughout her youth, Yocheved searched for people who could tell her something about her parents. She was given up at 2.5. One evening in 1958, when she was 19 years old, she met a woman named Mrs. Gerda Hirsch, who told her a story that has given Yocheved strength, pride, and purpose until this very day. "So," said Mrs. Gerda Hirsch, "you are the daughter of Reb Shlomo and Rosa Luvenberg." "Yes," she said. "I must tell you a story about your parents that only I know. No one else could possibly tell it to you because only I lived to tell the tale." Yocheved listened with bated breath. Said Mrs. Hirsch, "It was Friday morning, Parshas Balak." By the way, we're coming up to Balak very soon. This week is Shlach, Korach, Chukas, Balak. So it's almost the yahrzeit of this transit. "It was Friday morning, Parshas Balak, in the early summer of 1941, when the Nazi SS troops began their roundup of Jews in Amsterdam. Jews were snatched from their basements, from their attics, from walk-in closets, any other place where they sought to hide. The captives had to leave their belongings behind, but many took just a little bag, a rucksack. In America, we call it a backpack. They took some necessities, precious possessions, some money. The Jews were herded into trains that would go north towards Westerbork. As people on the train found places amongst the stifling crowd, there was a surprising release." This is a survivor from that transit. "Of tension. Everyone realized, everyone here was Jewish. The fate of one would be the fate of all." Reminds me of Megillas Esther. "Don't think you could escape with your fate personally in the palace of the king. The fate of one is the fate of all." There was no need to hide their identities on the train. We were worried and frightened, but the Jews were calm because at least we are amongst our own. The loaded train tarried in the station for hours. When it finally began to move, it traveled but a few miles, and it stopped for no apparent reason. It just waited endlessly. People made conversation throughout the afternoon. As the sun began to set, someone announced it was time to daven mincha. Many of the men stood up to begin Ashrei. In the Kaddish after, we tell these heroic happenings, but it's literally impossible, literally, to fathom what we're even telling, or rather I'm telling it and you're hearing it, or you're reading it. It's not possible to fathom this. When the Kaddish after Ashrei had been recited, the men and women who knew Shema Esrei by heart began to silently pray. As night began to spread over the horizon, the discussion began about davening Kabbalah Shabbos. We call the Chadodi Shamar V'Zachar B'Dibur Achad. Mrs. Hirsch continued to Yocheved. "Very few people had Siddurim. Your father announced he would recite aloud the first chapters of Kabbalah Shabbos, and everyone could follow along. Rabbi Luvenberg recited the words of the Chunaranana loudly, slowly, carefully on the train. He went through the 6 chapters of Tehillim that are recited as part of Kabbalah Shabbos, leading up to the Chadodi, the beautiful and inspiring song to welcome the Shabbos, written by the 16th century Kabbalist, Rabbi Shlomo Alkabetz. Remarkably, even on this night of confusion and fear, people joined Mr. Luvenberg in greeting the Shabbos with song. For some, it would be the last time they did so. The men finished Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv with special intensity. Their spirits renewed, their pride in their Jewishness aroused, and now it was time to eat. But no one thought of eating anything without first hearing the Kiddush. There was no wine on the train. The people began wondering what to do. And then," exclaimed Mrs. Hirsch, "your mother took out of her rucksack 2 challahs that she had baked that morning. It's crazy. I don't know if anyone like me, my chaldos already had the shaping and the hafrasha and the shaping. This week's parshas, Parshas Shlach, by the way, if you're being mafresh chal, you should keep in mind in the muchan and muzum and the kaim. It says, "I'll say shall reishes arisosechem tala tchala torimu truma laHashem." It's a derabanan. Today it's not a deraisa, but if you are taking challah, and you should just have in mind, Parshas Shlach is a mitzvah of challah. So my challahs are about to go into the oven, and shiur is over. And this Mrs. Luvenberg, what did she do that morning? She took out two challahs that she had baked that morning. Of all the things that she took in a rucksack at the time of liquidation and deportation, your mother chose to her what was the most important, Shabbos chas, the diamonds for Shabbos. Others have taken jewelry, pictures, or money, but your mother took her chalos with her on the train. Your father made kiddush for everyone over those chalos, and afterwards people shared with each other the small parcels of food that they had taken along on that transit. It is Mrs. Rosa Luvenberg's priorities that inspire her daughter who survived, Mrs. Yocheved Khan, to this very day. So we, Baruch Hashem, are zocha to keep the diamond of Shabbos from a different time. For us, not like the Jews on the Lower East Side 100 years ago, we don't have the nisayon of stopping to work means starvation, possibly. We, Baruch Hashem, are baking challah in a safer, more peaceful time. We're benched with so much. We shouldn't just walk by Shabbos or let it walk by us as if Joshua Bell was just Mr. Nas. Joshua Bell was Joshua Bell. And a $3.5 million violin is a $3.5 million violin. And every week Shabbos comes. And it's a great diamond, and it's a great treasure. And Hashem says, I have so much to give you. Let us appreciate this special gift of Shabbos. Let us bedeck ourselves in the glory that is worthy of the Shechina. Let us recognize that Shabbos endears Ribbono Shel Olam to us and us to Him. And so when He gives us a gift, He wants us to know who gave it to us. So we treat Shabbos and the Shechina with the respect as best we can that is deserving. With that, I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. A Shabbat Shalom. It should truly bring Shalom to us and all of Klai. So I thank everyone who opened their cameras. It was really special. Thank you. I thank our hostess and sponsor very, very much. And I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all. Besor Tovos.